What up, what up? We're back. Post-show episode 146. We're flying through these bitches. Great episode today. Action-packed, as always. Grant mentioned it last week, so I finally watched it, and it left me in pieces. Taco P's Original Sin. I'm two episodes in. Grant's only one, but we kind of touch on the first two episodes and our thoughts about it. It starts us off with quite the tone. I'm just playing. It's probably the biggest anime out there right now, so if you haven't heard about it, feel free to listen to us talk about it. There's no spoilers, but we have a lot to say, so that was a really fun discussion. Grant talks about My Hero Vigilantes, and then briefly about Kaiju number 8. We get into some Dr. Stone, which I think is airing. It's like its second part of its final season. I give a little update on Dragon Ball Z Kai, which I'm making my way through with the misses. And then we get to our favorite show, I think, speaking for Grant without his permission, of The Summer, which is The Summer Hikaru Died on Netflix. That thing is fantastic. Grant brings us up to speed on Dandadan Season 2. I'm a little bit behind, but we talk about it. It sounds like it's on quite the run, so I got to catch up on that. And then we quickly discuss Lord of Mysteries. I've made it through a few of those. Quite the show, quite a few thoughts on it. And then we end on To Be Hero X, an anime Grant is catching up back on. And then The Brutalist. He saw that recently, a little bit late, but better late than never. And then we touch on some pop culture related stuff. Wouldn't be pop culture if we didn't bring up Sydney Sweeney. So we do. And that is fun. And I think that's it. And Grant, you can hit the intro music and enjoy. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hello, David.
What's up, bud?
You know. We can pod and I'm tired.
We're here, though.
We did it.
Yeah, how about this heat wave?
Ugh. Today was beautiful, though.
Finally letting it go a little bit today. Yeah,
a little bit of wind, a little cool breeze.
You like being outdoors?
Back. Oh, dude, I fucking hate it. it's a good thing as a living. Positive. Yeah.
The way you said it, I was like, oh, he loves it. He loves it.
Yeah, no. It's like the high point of like it's making best of a situation of like, oh yeah, like I work outside for a living and sure. I despise every moment I have to come in contact with the air and radiation. But when there's a nice breeze, it's like, you know, maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Now yeah, I obviously have it pretty cushy, but like here's my first world problem is like I have like frankly kind of a sick office setup, right?
Sure,
I've got this giant man cave, it's great, but we're talking about like maybe relocating the office for pragmatic reasons at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sam works at you know, she's in office a few days a week, that'll probably increase over time, and but she's got an office upstairs, and all this to say, like, it is kind of, as nice as the basement is, it is like a little bit dank being in a basement 8 to 10 hours a day, because like it's great, but it's like I do miss me some vitamin D. You know what I mean? Like, it is, even just going on the main floor, where all we have all this natural light with sure. from all the windows and stuff, it's like, oh, God, it's nice up here. But I started being like, oh, I'm gonna, you know what, maybe I'm an outdoorsy guy now. Maybe that's what it is.
Sure.
So, like, the last month or so, like, once or twice a day, I'll be like, oh, you know what, I don't have any calls or any meetings, I'll take the laptop, I can do what I want, you know what I mean? I'll go work on the back porch. I'll go work on wherever. And with this heat wave, I'm out there for 2.5 minutes. Like, oh my God, it's miserable out here.
Mm.
So that's not really working.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Good I love a tank basement. I love a tank basement. that sounds like the ideal working climate to me.
Yeah. No, it is. It's like...
Like when I'm home, cool. Dude, like it's a race to close the curtains. I like to make it as dark in my domicile as possible.
So I'd like it. But what I don't like is, like, maybe this is just to the whole, the, like, argument you see people talking about now about the loss of, like, the, quote, third place. I don't know if you've, like, seen any of this stuff online, but the
idea... No, I don't know what that is.
The idea, I think, is loosely based on, you know, COVID had a gigantic impact on people working from home, right? Remote work became normative.
Sure.
You know, if I left my current job, I would say 90% chance I land another remote job. Just because of the nature of the industry I'm in, the world has shrunk a little bit as well. Like, I could get jobs not just in our city, but in other cities.
Sure.
But then again, so can everybody else, right? So it's still competitive. But all that to say, chances are I'm going to be remote. So the idea is, like, we had, like, you know, we had work and home and, like, play. And, like, work and home kind of became... the same thing, right? So I think the loose idea is like, yeah, we're kind of missing a third place. That's why you see like these, there's like some hipster stuff happening in bigger cities. Toronto, New York is huge on it. Even in Ottawa, I think like there's like, something spaces that people are like, oh, it's an art gallery, but also a coffee place that also sells vinyls. You know what I mean? Like they're trying to make them like, they're trying to make them into hangout spots.
Gotcha.
For people to just like get together and
get away from the other two spaces. Oh, I see what you mean.
So all that said, what I was going to complain about next was like, yeah, it's just irritating being like, okay, I worked 8-9 hours today. Hey, let's settle in for movie night. I'll walk 3 feet from my desk.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that getting tiring. Like, I'm very, you know, like, I was goofing and gaffing about, you know, hating to be outside. But, like, I actually love that. Like, I'm always, you know, travel a lot for work. Yeah. And it's, like, going from one region to the other. So, it's, like...
You get to see a lot of stuff. You also know your way around so well.
Windshield warrior, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, windshield warrior. It's fine. But I don't know my way around anything. Anyway, yeah. These are they're different problems, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe just like a dedicated room with an office. Maybe that'd be nice. Mm. I need a door. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You gotta keep her away from me. You know what I mean? I gotta...
Did you take all your doors off?
No, yeah, well, like, you could think of it. It's all open concept. You know what I mean?
I know.
I need some boundaries, dude. She could hear me right now.
Dad took my door off.
All right, what do you want to talk about? Some anime?
Yeah.
I got some strong feelings about some shit, dude. I lost some sleep over something you recommended.
Oh, okay.
You guaranteed I already know what it is. Can we start there?
Let's start with that.
Okay, first topic, Taco P's Original Sin.
I will say I have yet to continue past the pilot. I've had a busy...
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've only seen the first episode still.
No worries at all.
I'm curious to see what you have to say.
Okay, so I'm going to do this spoiler free. I think there's 4 episodes. I'm 2 in.
Okay.
So I've seen 2. With that in mind, I'll start with what you said last week, which is, like, you basically said, like, it's one of the heaviest, most sad things I've ever watched. And then, like, what you told me, I won't spoil it, but, like, you basically said, like, there's some pretty... and there's also a content warning when you start the episode.
Yeah.
But there's, like, some pretty intense, graphic, extremely adult-themed stuff that happens in the pilot. So when you said that, like, as you know, like, I think I like the dark, deep stuff, but also not in the way that you described. I was like, yeah, I mean, I like dark, deep stuff, but I don't want to just, like, watch people get abused either, right? It was kind of on my mind. Yeah. I was like, so all that said, I delayed watching it. I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this. Like, I'm not excited to watch it. And through no fault of yours, it's just, I knew what was coming and I was like, it's hard to look forward to that. So I watched the first episode. It was incredibly powerful, but it was incredibly upsetting.
It's one of the most upsetting things I've seen. True. Like, it is
obviously well made. We'll get that out of the way. Like, it's layered. The animation and, like, the visual style that they went for is nice. Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I'm in a weird stage in life where, like, I'm thinking about all this child-related stuff. Like, not just the idea of, like, growing up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you think about kids in a different way, and it's just like, oh my god, this is fucking disturbing. So all that said, I was like, I don't know if I want to watch another one.
Mm.
And I won't say much about episode 2, dude, other than, I mean, you should watch it. I would go so far as to say it almost should have been released as a double pilot. Episode 2...
Oh, interesting.
It really feels like the show starts at the end of episode 2.
Okay.
And... I don't want to give anything away. What I'll just say is I had assumed you'd seen episode 2 already, but I was writing in my notes, like, this just feel like, I don't know if I want to watch this. I was like, this is legit so upsetting that, like, this just feels like, there's gotta be a word for this. There's gotta be some Reddit internet word for this, for, like, gore porn or, like, bullying,
like torture porn, I guess.
What is redeemable about the story other than its ability to make you feel miserable? Like, it was an awful, awful time.
Mm.
But there's a twist, and I think, like, the twist makes sense, and, like,
in the second episode, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. I think the show finds its footing in a way, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the show clearly makes a choice, and it's a choice that makes me curious enough that I'm likely to watch more.
Wow. Okay.
But like, that doesn't mean that I think that it's going to be fucking sunshine and rainbows going forward. I still think it's going to be really challenging.
Yeah, I think, from...
Which is kind of the point, for the record, I'm not, like, poo-pooing all that. Sorry.
No. But I think maybe, even with only having still seen the pilot, I think its message and its goal is to, like, work its way up to potentially...
Yeah.
You know, but again, like, I feel like this is a very, like, a double-edged show where, like, yes, like, you have all this trauma and pain and, like, very, very tough subject matter, and then on the flip side is all this trying to create positivity and healing.
Yeah.
You know, there could be, like, a climb up and then, like, a big drop out at the end. Like, there's a chance, I feel like there's this for not to pan out in a positive way. You know, like, it's... I feel like in the pilot alone, there's a straddling of the line of, like, you know, very dark and very light, or positivity and negativity. So it's very, like, it's a one of the most, like, I guess, dualistic shows, I guess, like, I've seen. Like, it's wearing both of them on its sleeve, and it's trying to, you know, they're going to collide at some point. So
yeah, there's it's like that great example of hurt people. You know what I mean? Like, God, it was just so much weight to it. I mean, I think sometimes art, like, it's upsetting because you can see the truth in it, you know, like, even for, like, some of its, I don't know if you want to call it a sci-fi theme or what.
Sure.
But, like, even for, like, the stuff that it's reaching for, it's like, yeah, but this isn't that hard to believe, because it's, and that's, like, what bums you out so much. Like, man, it was heavy. There's some shows...
You take the alien out of the situation and, like, without this magical ability to, you know, like, it's
middle school.
Yeah.
Messed up. It's great. You know, there's some shows, I'm sure we'll talk about maybe one or two, but, like, there's some shows where it's, like, it makes me feel such a certain way. I try and get Sam to watch, and then there's other shows like this and the Hikaru show. It's like, I'm not even going to bother. Like, she has a weaker stomach for this stuff than I do.
Sure, yeah.
But, man, that was a really good rec, for the record. And I think, like, the internet seems to agree with you on that. Like, it seems to be doing
it has been topping the weekly anime charts.
Yeah.
Because there's the three popular ones, and it's one and two on at least two out of the three. So it's grabbing people, for sure.
Yeah. I was going to say. I don't know. I'm excited for episodes 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. What do you got? Over to you.
Topic two. So, like, I was going to say we were talking about before, but we were running audio tests earlier. But I kind of went back the past couple weeks because there's so many summer shows that I do want to keep up with. But there was quite a bunch of spring stuff that I kind of started, and I kind of took the spring season off. But I wanted to finish a few of them. One of them, and I messaged in our group chat, is I'm having, like, a My Hero Academia renaissance right now.
Oh, yeah.
Corinne and I watched My Hero Academia Vigilantes, and it kind of restored my faith in, like, not big picture My Hero, because you and I have had so many gripes over the years, but it was so refreshing, beginning to end, having such a smaller scale story. All the bullshit is taken out. It's just this small group of characters. It takes, like, 5 or 6 years prior to the My Hero storyline. So, like, you know, you don't have all these deaths, you don't have all, like, these big world ending, you know, scenarios. It's just, like, street level. It's like Spider-Man, like, the My Hero version, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, there's villains, and it's, like, in the My Hero way, where they're big and they're...
But we're not saving the world every episode.
No, it's just about, like, a dude who, like, starts out, he has, like, a quirk that might not be, like, you know,
great
UA Academy level, you know, like, you know, he's never going to be a pro hero.
Yeah.
But, like, he dresses up in, like, an All Might sweater, puts on a mask, and cleans up trash. Like, people call him, like, the trash man at one point. Like oh, it's, or they call him Nice Guy. They call him Nice Guy because he's always picking up trash and, like, you know, helping people cross the road. And he meets up with this, like, inverse All Might type character who doesn't have a quirk, and he just wears knuckle dusters, and he just, like, pounds the shit out of people in the street, and, like,
okay.
But, like, it started off as, like, oh, this is kind of, like, slice of lifey with some combat, and then within, like, 2 or 3 episodes they kick off this storyline, and it's like a full complete story. Like, there could be no season 2, there is going to be, but it was like one of the most single type, very tight, like, none of the My Hero, like, playing with your time bullshit. Yeah. Just very, like, bang, bang, bang. Like, we're hitting our story notes. You know, we're gonna set up a premise. We're gonna close the door on this premise, like, by the end of it. You know, like, it wasn't drifting. It wasn't like, hey, we're gonna catch you back in 2 seasons with this. It was just, it was like having, like, just about any other one-off show anime, with the My Hero coat on.
Right.
And it was just so refreshing of like, they've never done this before in like the 8 seasons they've done, you know? So it felt new in so many ways. Like, and it felt a lot more comic booky. Like, you know, like there's like, you know, they punch and there's like pow on the screen and like stuff like that. And I don't know, it was just like really fun, kind of like lighthearted, but like insanely dark. And, you know, like, they did a really good job at like, okay, obviously we're going to show you like All Might's going to show up and Endeavor's going to show up and Aizawa or, you know, like Erasure's going to show up. And, but like, they did a really good job teeing up a couple villains that show up in My Hero.
The primary season, right? Or the primary
and show. And the primary show and like a fan favorite villain. I don't want to spoil the off chance you watch it.
It's possible.
They set up the turn of a character.
Ooh.
Of and like they show up the first time, you're like, oh, that's clearly
Stain.
It's Stain.
I got you.
And got dude, like, your ass. Like watching they did such a good job showing. I'm not gonna, like, I'll like semi spoil it, but like they like visually showed like the twig in his brain snapping.
Yeah, the origin story, it feels like.
But, like, not, like, you know, like, wasn't, like, this big dragged-out thing. You could tell, like, he was on, like, the precipice of, like, becoming that person.
Yeah.
And all it took was one person to, like, kind of, like, blow out shove. His...
Yeah.
And, like, incredible stuff.
It's that Yuki just... girl saying to Geto, well, we could just get rid of all humans. But that's a ridiculous idea. They what?
It's like, oh, that's true, actually. But, yeah, no. So, it's, I don't know. I have nothing but good things to say about My Hero Vigilantes. That like they also did a thing too, you know how like in anime where like they introduce like an American character and it's like a very broken English.
Oh yeah,
which, you know, which is fine or whatever, but it's like, you know, like the actor's working, they get to do the voice, but like they introduced like the number one hero at the time from America who's like escaping like controversies in the West.
Okay,
so he comes to Japan to kind of clear his name or whatever and like kind of like improve his image. And
like, he got Me Too'd in America and he's out to rehabilitate his image
more or less. Yeah. Okay. And like it starts off where like he like all like he has like all these girl fans that are following around everywhere, and then there's this, it's actually really funny, there's these two like random side characters that are clearly based on Wolverine and Cyclops.
Okay.
And like those two characters feud a lot like in X-Men, and these two dudes like fight like in the same way, like when like, so it's like they're like more influenced by American comics than like,
oh, that's funny,
in this show. And they become like the leader of this character's like support, or not support group, like fan club kind of thing. So he goes like, he does like this transition from like, you know, all these, you know, female fans, like all these like boys wearing like, you know, wearing gis and like they're beating on drums and singing chants for him. But like when he talks, like it's an English actor. Oh. And when he speaks English, it's like clearly a different voice actor. And it's like, oh, like usually like you get the broken English thing, and it's like they chose to have two voice actors for like certain parts, but
kind of cool.
It was different, but I don't know, man. It was just like,
how many episodes?
13, I believe.
That is tight.
Nice in and out, like I said, and they wrap it up. Like it's
like that.
They leave the door open for like, oh yeah, there could be some. It was they kind of like teed it up the way like Midoriya in the beginning of My Hero. Like it's clearly him in the future talking about the events that had passed.
Yes.
They kind of do a similar thing. Like, right at the end of season one of this, and it's like...
So you know there's more to come, if they want.
Potentially, but it's not like, oh, you know, like, this is when, you know, like, me and Midoriya joined together and became, like, forces. Like, it's nothing like that. I think it keeps being street level.
Sure.
It's more like, maybe more Daredevil than it is, like, Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that. Yeah. Because he's one tier down, right? But yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's really fun. Like, if you like My Hero, this is, like, the ultimate ace in the hole.
I think it's like, very possible I would end up maybe watching it. Like, I want to wrap up My Hero with the final season, which can't be that far away, right?
October, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's this year. So we'll get some closure on that and then see how I feel at the end of it.
Mm.
Did you watch Kaiju number 2? Season 2? Sorry, Kaiju number 8, season 2?
I completely blanked that had premiered.
Unbelievable. nothing crazy. It's good. It's nothing crazy. It's like they kick it off.
I did watch the OVA that came out a couple weeks ago, though.
Yeah, I didn't know. So it's funny you watched that. I didn't. Like, it's like a recap of season 1, basically.
Oh, real. Okay. So
well, no, but then there is a real OVA. Sorry. There's a recap of season 1 that looked like that's like long and I was confused about. And then there's an OVA, and then there's season two premiere.
Episode one. Okay.
So it was kind of confusing when I watched it, but like, you know, they pick up where they left off and it's fun and should be a fun little season.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
The, I know you haven't been caught up for a while, but Dr. Stone is back for part two of three for their final season.
Okay.
It's just like one of the best things on, like, it's Leanne and I's like ultimate, like, hey, like, you know, let's watch our show. Like, let's just put it on. Like, it's, you know, like, it's, very low stakes, but nothing makes me laugh like Dr. Stone. Like, it's so, it's so silly and ludicrous, but it's having a strong, I think two or three episodes are out now. It's having a good, like, handoff from the previous arc, which there's like a second Senku type character now, like, like an evil Senku. And it's really fun to see them like try to science each other, and it's like, you know, are they allies? But this guy's clearly gonna try and screw them over. But like Senku knows that, so he's like, it's just like, it's like, you know, like a hat on a hat And it's, I don't know, it's just a really fun show. But when was the last time you had watched? Was it season two?
I don't know if I even did season two.
Oh wow.
Well, no, that can't. No. I did do season two, but it slowed down a lot, and I think that's where they missed me. So I didn't see anything once they got on the boat. Like, I think that was season three. There's a boat. Maybe it was a pirate.
Yeah, Ryusei. It, hands down the best character in the show. But that was like a 40-minute episode they did to introduce him before season three.
So I didn't see that or season three.
Okay. It's always going to be there, baby.
It'll be there. There's always going to be, you know, like an opening in the field at one point.
Yeah.
Like right now, we got to get through Dragon Ball Z Kai, dude.
So, what is that? You're on the Frieza arc right now?
Yeah, we're on the Frieza arc, and it's wildly fun.
Mm.
I think we talked about this last time, but it's so fun watching someone watch it who's, like, dimly aware of Dragon Ball Z's cultural impact. Like, she's like, I've seen the character Vegeta before, I've heard the name. You know what I mean? Because very few anime are that big, right? Whereas, sure, like, somebody who has no context or concept of, like, what it is like, oh, I've seen this person on just in life.
Yeah. Dragon Ball, One Piece, Naruto.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, so it's kind of cool to, like, watch her, like, go through the whole thing. And I gotta say, I know I said this last time again, but, like, the, just the pacing and the cutout of filler in Kai makes it, like, so much easier. Like, I think cuts it in half, but
wow,
yeah, it's crazy. So it really moves. Like, I think the Saiyan saga at the beginning is 10 episodes. Like, they do it so fast.
Holy cow.
Maybe not 10, but you know, it's like 10 or low teens. It's really not that bad. So you know, the Namek, because the Frieza saga is like when they start fighting Frieza, but we're on Namek like a good 10-15 episodes before that.
Oh, okay.
So much happens, gathering the Dragon Balls and all that. I don't know if she's listening, but like the thing hasn't happened yet, right?
Oh, okay.
The Super Saiyan moment hasn't happened yet. But she's heard, because Vegeta's been like, what do I need to do to become a Super Saiyan? There's this whole arc where Vegeta's like, this is what I need to do. I need Krillin to shoot me in the stomach, and then I'll be a Super Saiyan. He's just like chasing this thing, and then he sees Goku, and he's like, no, he must be the Super. Like, they're just throwing the word around.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened yet. But that, I remember as a kid, that was like a big moment. It was like, what the hell is happening? And there's a really cool thing too. I don't know if you're aware of this, because you're not the biggest DBZ guy in the world, right?
I watched it, like, like having talked about it with you over the years, like, I think I probably have seen all of Z at some point.
Well, there's this big thing, you know, and I mean, you'll know better than most, like the dub versus the sub and all that, and like just naming conventions and stuff. And in the sub, he's Son Goku, right? And in the dub, he's just fucking Goku. And there's, you know, when they did Kai, not only did they cut all this filler, but they re-recorded all the audio, and a lot, they also you know, there's a bunch of stuff with the soundtrack that got changed, etc. There's new OP, it's a whole thing. But like in the Super Saiyan moment, like when Goku like introduces himself, the guy who did it, it's not Christopher Sabat, that's Vegeta, but whoever's voice is Goku apparently like fought for it. He introduces himself in that moment for the first time and only time in English as Son Goku. And it's this big like hat tip. I'm just looking forward to the moment.
That's pretty cool.
Especially when these, because even with how short it is, like it does drag, right? Like, even mm-hmm. as an adult, like, even if we get one in a day, it's like, okay, well, we've been on Namek for 20 days. Like, it's a long time. So I'm excited to watch or to see how it all, how it hits.
That's so fun. Sam is enjoying it?
Yeah, weirdly. I think English helps a lot.
Sure.
Right? Like, just like, it makes it a show you can eat and watch, as opposed to, like, you know, if you're looking down at your food, you can't read at the same time. Anime isn't really built for that.
No.
But I think the English dub helps, and, Yeah.
So sick.
It's pretty sick. Are you caught up on the summer Hikaru died?
Absolutely. Yeah.
This show is unbelievable.
Dude.
Like, this show is unbelievable.
It's actually crazy. Like, for start, I can't remember what... There's another show that had some gay elements that I remember, like, a lot of people that you and I had watched. I feel like there was a lot of people talking a little bit of hate on it. It was just like constant, you know, like the typical, like, the internet bullshit. But, like, this is, like, really catching some strays, and it just goes to show, like, it's crazy on today's modern age. People are so, like, closed-minded.
What, but because, like, of the romance angle?
Yeah. Wow. Just, I think people are like, oh, like, you know, like, they kind of, like, backdoor, you know. No pun intended. Like, they, like, backdoored me into this, you know, like, you know, gay romance, you know, horror. And it's like, why can't people just enjoy, like, a good story?
But
it goes for it, dude. Like I knew all this stuff going in, and that second episode where, like, we get, like, I guess the brain job, like, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa, like, they went for it. Like, that's,
I consider that more of, like, an alien thing.
No, I know. It's the...
Yes, I...
Just the whole, like, the imagery and, like,
yeah,
the in was episode is episode two or is episode two the one in, like, the tree line where they go, where they cut through the forest, and, like, there's, like, the thing, like, the head swinging, and I was like, I was watching that, I was like, wow, Dave's not gonna like
this. Nope, watching this show with the lights on, dog.
So, but, like. Like, you know, like just, like, the, with Hikaru, like, to show that, you know, it's not him, and, like, we don't know what it is, but, like, they're doing such a good job, and it is very fast-paced. I've had to rewind a couple moments.
Yeah, it is.
Because, especially in episode two, and then there was, like, one moment in episode three, it was like, hey, like, maybe let's just, you know, take that back a moment. But, like, they are really trying to get, it feels like they're trying to get the world-building very early out of the way.
Yeah, they're doing a lot.
Because they're trying to focus more on the characters.
Yeah.
So they're setting up, like, you know, there's all these names, this town, you know, the Indo family, which I'm assuming is the Hikaru's, or Hikaru's family.
We still haven't seen anything about the detective guy that they teased early episode one, I don't think.
Well, I think her son, it might be that guy that showed up in town.
The guy that he, the woman he contacted when he was having doubts,
You know, and so, like, there's, like the cool things about, like, when he gets touched, like, I don't think, like, his arm is going to stay like that is my guess.
Very, reminiscent of summertime rendering.
Yes. Yeah.
But so, that's fine. So that's, sometimes timing happens that way, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, whatever. But, you know, like, there was her, like, she, you know, on her ring finger.
She had a little something.
She had a scar there, and then, you know, like, the dude, the detective guy, he has a marking on him as well.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that, so that's all, man. But, like, when Hikaru, like, turns on one of the girls at the end of that episode where she, like, she clearly notices there's something going on, like, in the forest.
Yes.
And I think, she's talking to Yoshiki, and then Hikaru kind of, like, clocks that and, like, kind of gets her, like, you could see the eye change. And I was like, wow, he's just going to start dropping bodies left and right. But, the vibes, man, like, this, the OP also, like, very, like, not the show, but, like, the visuals kind of wrap in, like, just, this is, like, the show of the summer, like, and you know, like, we're gonna talk about Dan, and, you know, also, like, absolutely, like, firing on all cylinders, but this is, like, fresh, baby. Like, this is, like, really good stuff. Like,
it's the favorite thing I'm watching right now. It's so cinematic. Like, some of these freeze frames are so pretty. The I love the romance angle. I think it's, like, so, and I get it, like, whatever, but, like, I love that it's, because it really just doesn't matter to me that there's two male characters. I think the idea is just good, right? Yes. And I think just the idea of having a crush as a teen and then that person dying but coming back in a way where they're here but not, and it's wrong, but to you it's also right. And also, this thing is conscious, but violent, and also childlike. And
there's now, like, Stockholm Syndrome going on. Like, where he's trying to fix Seeker. Like, that was the saddest thing so far. Yeah. I can fix him. It's like, no, you won't. But, yeah, like, dog. You know, you're young and you don't know any better, which is...
Yeah, and that's not unique to heterosexual relationships. Like, no. That's just, like, a thing that's going to happen. And I kind of think, like, it being one of your boys that you happen to be, like, falling in love with is, like, probably something that happens all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. God, I don't know. I think it's so three-dimensional and nuanced and doing such a good job. I hope they don't, you know, screw it all up, but... I don't think so.
I know, like, from... The manga is, like, very, very heavily lauded. It's, like...
Nice.
Like a modern classic. And yeah. So, you know, if the studio continues at this pace following the story, I think we're okay. But, like, there's just, like, I have the shot stuck in my mind. It's like a overhead shot where Hikaru's fallen asleep after eating the water. And stuff with the watermelon is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Where he's passed out. Yoshiki texts the woman, leaves his phone.
Yeah, good shot.
And just kind of, like, the... You know, like, leading to, like, oh my god, like, his phone's clearly going to go off. Like, he texted, she's going to respond.
A sense of foreboding.
And just five. And then, like, when... I guess if you want to call it the assault scene in the third episode as well, like, when he kind of attacks him at the school. Just, like, you know, like, the way, like, the mask came out of him and, like, surrounds him. And he's, like, drowning in it. And like, the voice performance where, like, you know, like... They do the blend of, like, horror, but then there's ecstasy in his voice. And, like the confusion of it, it's an incredible show. Like, it blows me away. Every episode I've watched, I've watched it twice through already. I'm just going to run it again. It's so good.
Yeah, it's astounding, man. I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm so glad that you flagged this one.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned Dandadan. I'll let you down fast and painful. I'm not caught up.
No,
unfortunately, I just watched the pilot, so I'm a couple behind, and I think I'm saving them so that we can do them a couple, two or three in a row, just because we've been a little bit busy, admittedly, DBZ, but how is it so far?
It's great. You know, they're doing the thing, they're not doing the thing, you know, I feel like this type of story would... They're not, like, pitting Jinshi and Okarun against each other. Like, this whole, like, jealousy thing.
Like, you thought they could, or they might.
Like, like in any other show, they 100% would. Yeah. But, like, I think they're really trying to... There's, like, a really big positivity angle to this show. And, like, these characters and, like, trying to...
Yeah.
You know, like... But there's a couple, like... You know, like, we're in, like, a very... Episodes 2 and 3 are incredibly action-heavy.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah, I guess the premiere is a bit of... Leaves off on a bit of a cliffhanger, so that's good.
Yeah, so it's like, it's dialed to 11, and there's, like, a very, very cool, like, head-to-head fight in the second half of Episode 2, and then pretty much all of Episode 3.
Nice.
And I think, so, the episode this week will be kind of, like, I think the cap-off to this arc, but... Just some really cool gags and, like, there's a shot that, again, like, similar to the Summer Hikaru Diet, like, I have this one shot where Jinshi is, like, trying to save the other two. And he's essentially carrying them. And there's a scene where he trips. And the camera focuses on not just, like, him just losing his balance and going. Mm-hmm. They show, like, his ankle slipping out. From underneath them. And it's, like... the time and dedication for a single shot to show the angle of, like, how he fell.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's very meticulous and, you know, like, it's firing, you know, like, it's such a silly show and goofy, but, like, it feels very, like, it does a really good job of showing the situations they're in are very dire. Like, this is not, like, playtime. Like, this is, like, we need to fight or we die. And it very often, not often does that feel, like, genuine.
Right, it's like, stakes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like, plot armor and, like, this and that. And there's clearly plot armor at play here. Like, this is, you know, kind of Demon Slayer-esque in a way where, like, yeah, like, our boys are fine.
Yeah.
But it still feels like they're out of their depth.
Sure.
And episodes 2 and 3 really highlight how out of, a little underpowered they are.
Sure.
And,
well, that's a welcome change.
Yeah.
I like stakes. But that's good to hear. And R.E., the... Read that note about the camera thing with the guy tripping. I feel like Dan to Dan does cool stuff like that all the time. They're really, really creative about, like, direction and, like, angles. Like, man, do you remember in season one, the Okaroon slash Turbo Cranny, like, chase scene through the train or whatever that was?
Yes.
The music? Like,
yeah.
They do really... It's just not... They don't go down the obvious path a lot of the time. They do weird stuff that feels like they're intentionally trying to subvert, like, visual storytelling. Like, you know, a regular show would do it this way, but we're going to, like, tweak it just a little bit, make it a little bit weird, and, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm a really big fan of that.
They do, like a really fun callback to, like, a character trait. So in the fight scene in episode 3... Okaroon kind of does something that's, like, related to his training regimen.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh yeah, like, that's so cool. Like, that he would be able to, like, he's, like, clearly improving himself.
Yeah.
And, like, that's carrying over into, like, what he does, like, when he's in, like, fight mode. And it just, it was just, like, you're gonna know 100% when you watch it.
Okay.
But it's, like, it's kind of, like, a silly thing of, like, oh, I never would have taken that as, like, to use that in a fight.
Sure.
But, like, we've created, this scenario has been created where, like, that's, like, the most effective thing to do, weirdly enough. It's
oh,
I don't know, it's really cool. It's yeah, like, I'm, it's like the instant, like, I gotta watch this when it's out show, like, between this and Hikaru, like,
yeah, Hikaru, I don't really miss what, like, I don't delay.
No, you're watching it that night,
Saturday or Sunday night,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know, I'm curious if you've seen any more of this, but you recommended it and I wound up watching 3 episodes of Lord of Mysteries.
I still have only watched pilot. What's your take on it?
I think it's really interesting. I'm torn on if I'll continue, but, like, it's very out there. Like, I would say it's not your typical anime. There's actually a term for it, right? Like, it's not, like, Chinese made anime has, like, a different term.
Is it Donghua, I think?
Donghua, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think you're right. Because I was looking for, like, discussions on it, and, like, I couldn't find it, and that's when I realized that. But the animation quality is, like, wild, but it's also, like, weirdly cinematic. It almost reminds me of, like, some video game cutscenes at times. And the lore stuff is a little dense. You can tell they're,
it's incredibly dense. Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to set up a lot, but, like, I don't know, when I was, you know, I was sick a little while ago, I was telling you, like, I ended up watching, like, 3 in a row, and they're long episodes. And it was pretty...
The pilot's, like, 40 minutes, I think.
Yeah. I think the typical ones are shorter than that, but they're still, like, 30-35. They're long.
Wow.
And, like, you know, and they're long and they look that good most of the time, so it's pretty impressive. But, like, you know, the story's progressing, I'm kind of into it. It's also not, if Summer Hikaru Died is, like, a thriller, it's definitely not that, but it is, like, a very darker, very dark tone.
I think it's supposed to be, like, a Lovecraftian type story, or, like, the unknown, like, you can't visually fathom, like, the what is out there kind of thing. It kind of goes for that vibe.
And, like, they're doing weird stuff with the audio as well. They're doing interesting stuff with, like, visual effects. I think it's, like, a creative show, and I definitely have not watched anything like this. It's just, like, very out there, and it's making a lot of choices, so I think it's, like, one of those things, when I have time, I'll probably go back to it here and there.
Yeah, well, that's, like, kind of, like, what kicked off, like, me going back to... I was going to watch episode 2, and I was like, no, like, there's so many spring shows that I really want to finish. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, I went back, I did My Hero, I did... I'm catching up on Apothecary Diaries, which is still, I think, one of the best things, like, out in the past few years. It's just, you know, like Sherlock Holmes, set in, you know, China.
Sure.
But another show that I went back to was that To Be Hero X.
I think I had... To Be Hero X.
It was the one. It's again. It's another China, like a Chinese studio, where it's half Chinese studios working on, like, the 3D and CG animation, and then it's like Japanese 2D studios doing, like, these kind of, like, you know, the backstory cutscenes or, like, scenes and whatnot. But it's, like, about this. It's, like, a kind of similar to The Boys, where there's, like, a power system and based in trust and fear. So all these heroes, like, you know, like, the more people believe in them, like, you know, like, they inherently get more powers. And but, like, so I watched that first episode. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's cool. It's just like a, yeah, like, you just get stronger based on all this, the fandom and whatnot. This has turned into a show about, like, your fan base can, like, affect you, like, to a total degree. Like, for example, there's a character in the show. He's a fireman. a building falls. He saves a little girl. He was able to hold up like some debris, and that story kind of runs with people. And he gets these powers. Like, he's more or less indestructibly strong, but he can't bend over. Like, he cannot ever like kneel because okay. like people like he's like a monument to people, like to hold things up and like bring moves. So it like there's a detriment to all literally. Of this literally to like yeah. all this fan base, and like they kind of like fit into like a comedic way, like when it's yeah. outside of like the scenario's been done, and like you can like, oh, like I wonder how he uses the toilet, and like they do that gag or whatever, but yeah. like anyway. And so I thought this was gonna be like a full show. You follow this one character, he ends up becoming a hero because he looks like him, they kind of doll him up, people think it's him, so he becomes that hero because that's the power of like this trust system. And then you get to like his end of his three episodes, boom, cuts off, new here, like a new scenario, like they're setting up all these new scenarios, almost like an Avengers type scenario, like they're setting up this group of heroes, and they each get like a 3-4 episode arc, and there's clearly something going to be going on at the end. And it is so surreal, because I started it again because I thought it was finished. It's still going, like it's on episode 16 of 24, and I'm just like, holy cow, like why was I not watching this week to week? It is so good.
Interesting. Dave.
Like
that's on Crunchyroll?
It's on Crunchyroll.
To be Hero X.
And like the animation is just similar to like Lord of Mysteries. Like I don't know what they're feeding them over there in China there, but like it looks like there's like a tad bit of the Uncanny Valley, but like it's sure. it's more akin to like a slightly less polished Arcane, like that animation style. Yeah,
got it.
And when they do the backstories on characters, or when they go into like a full blown fight scene, like it switches over to one of the Japanese, like I think MAPPA had some,
yeah,
like they did some of the animation in one of the episodes, because they have like guest studios. It's not just like the same Japanese studio, and like it just like dials it up, and it's like holy cow, like it is just eye candy from beginning to end. And I don't know, it's just another one. Like I think it kind of just went under the radar, but like this should be one of the biggest shows. Like if this was on Netflix, this would be the most talked about.
You think so?
By far. 100%, Dave. It's crazy. Interesting. It's very, very good.
All right.
But again, like there's like way too much. Like no I way. Feel like I feel like summer is now becoming, you know, I have the energy now to like to keep up with all these shows. But like, you know, there's like Gachikuta, and there's a Togenonki show that just started, and all the stuff that I want to watch, but like yeah. there's so many shows that are genuinely feel like 9 or 10, like 9 out of 10s, 10 out of 10s. We are swimming
in we're some swimming. Good
stuff right now.
Golden it's age awesome. Of television, they say.
Golden age for sure.
God. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into news?
Sure. I watched The Brutalist the other night.
Oh, the Adrian Brody?
Yes.
Yeah? How was that?
probably like super regretting I wasn't able to make time for it in the theaters.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how that happened.
A Feast for the Eyes. Definitely a Dave joint. Put it on your list if it wasn't already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's good to hear. No, but sure. you never know. Sometimes you yeah. see trailers, like, this might be up my alley, but is it? Anyway.
It's, yeah, it's, I don't know. Like, I think I thought it was going to be like this big saga movie where like we see someone from like an earlier point in their lives, and then we kind of get, you know, like the journey to who they become. But it's a lot more, it's big and long, and like it feels very real. Like it's a lot of like built in, very little CG, that kind of thing. It feels like an epic, but it's more of a shorter contained story and timeline than I thought. It takes place like just after the Holocaust. Like, yeah. It's, you know, Adrian Brody plays a Hungarian Jew, comes to America. So he already has had a life as an architect, like
before,
a
brutalist. Yeah.
And, like, he kind of finds this, you know, like, not right away, but, like, relatively shortly afterwards, he finds his patron and, like, kind of, like, the ups and downs of, like, that scenario over, like, a span of, I think, 15-ish years kind of thing. And there's some leaps in between, because they kind of, like, hit you with, oh, between, like, the first act is like 4 or 5 years kind of thing.
Sure.
And then in the act two, it kind of jumps like another 10 or whatever. But it just like, couldn't take my eyes off. You know, you're watching a movie, like your eyes shouldn't leave the screen, but like just the epicness, you know, the attention to craft, and you know, the, like Adrian Brody was just like, he was legit. Laszlo Tov. Like he was this character, like completely sucked in. Yeah.
He scooped the Oscar for that one, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, with crazy
speech. Yeah. Too long, but you know what though?
Couldn't let Shyamalan have it.
No, I don't know. Compared to the two, like that Bob Dylan role was a tissue compared to this. But I don't know, really, like, it's, again, it's a bit of an ask. Like, it's, like, three hours and change there.
I mean, that's probably why I didn't see it in the first place, right?
But, like, an intermission. I guess, like, when it was in theaters, there was a 15-minute intermission.
And, oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. How do I do that more? It's 15 minutes.
I remember when
stretch my legs. Give me another.
When I went to go see The Hateful Eight, we had an intermission.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And I was like, you know, I had 15 minutes. I went and grabbed. I was probably, one of the first times I'd had a beer in a movie theater. And I was like, well, this is nice. I can go use the washroom, get another drink, come back. Like, it would be like at home, you know?
Man, but that'd be like, fun to catch in the theater. How do I not see that?
Yeah, that was first, actually, probably one of the only movies I saw in 70 millimeter.
Oh, that's
had to go to Montreal for that.
Oh, I knew that. Yeah, I'm jealous of that. That's pretty sick. Because that's a good one. That's a good one to see in 70 mil.
But yeah, so The Brutalist, you know, like, yeah, everything's been said. What needs to be said about that? I'm just kind of saying I concur, and
cool.
I think you would enjoy it.
All right, will do.
Yeah, way more of a hang than fucking Zone of Interest. I'll tell you that.
Okay, I got some random stuff.
Hit me.
Well, okay, no, this isn't really random. It's two things. One, because I don't know if we talked about it much, but the Harry Potter HBO series, officially in production.
Mm-hmm.
They hit the ground, trying to debut in 2027, so it's going to be a minute.
Oh, wow.
Going to be 10 years of work, because they're going to do all 7 books in a row. Did we ever talk about John Lithgow's casting, being cast?
As Dumbledore?
Yeah.
He'll nail it. He'll nail it. John Lithgow's the man.
We'll see, dude.
Yeah.
We'll see.
He played Winston Churchill in the Crown.
Oh, yeah.
And he can do an English accent.
He can do an old, nice old guy. Was he, like, old and wise, Winston Churchill?
He was, like, wartime Winston Churchill. Or, like, post-war.
We need him to be, like, old, wise, but also know he can throw down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit of Trinity, a little bit of Winston Churchill.
Trinity, oh my god. The range. Have you ever seen that interview of him talking about how... Have I ever told you this? It kind of blows my mind, because I love the Disney Hercules movie so much.
Yeah.
And James Woods plays, voices Hades, and is amazing in it. Mm-hmm. Did you know John Lithgow recorded the entire movie as Hades, and they cut him and swapped him with Woods at the last minute?
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Now, it is kind of hard to picture... anyone other than James Woods, because he did such a good job.
But you know what? You say that, and if I try to, like, I can picture the sassiness.
Yeah.
I can, not quite the same, like the very dry of James Woods. He has a very dry delivery.
Yeah.
And the sharpness, the dry and sharpness of it, whereas, you know, Lithgow is quite, you know, warm, but, like, I can picture that. I can picture him being, like, kind of like a dick, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I know. I love that.
Lord Farquaad. Very inspirational to our youth.
Love that.
Some of you may die.
But that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Our boy, he's officially our boy now, even though I haven't watched the rest of his discography like I said I would. But our boy, Robert Eggers, is doing this werewolf movie. And he's bringing back the Nosferatu cast. He's bringing back Lily Rose Depp and Aaron Taylor Johnson.
I am actually, like, I'm super excited for, like, a very violent werewolf movie. Mm-hmm. I am kind of really bummed, because the other rumor was he was going to do A Christmas Carol.
Oh.
And I would have loved to see that. I think that would be, you know, because all you'll need is the Muppets and Robert Eggers, and then you have the perfect Christmas Carol.
God, he terrifies me so much. I gotta watch The Northman.
You should. It's you should do that this weekend, actually.
He said Werewolf is his darkest work yet.
He said that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. It's like, how?
Did he watch The Lighthouse?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Grant, I did the math. How old do you think we'll be when Demon Slayer, the final movie, comes out?
Oh, how old?
It's not good. Tell you that.
40. I think we'll be close to, we'll be touching 40, no?
We'll be pushing 38, yeah. Because we don't know the month. So we'll be 38 that year, assuming we're the same age.
But I'm okay. Are you talking about this 2-year window thing?
Yes, which is, like,
confirmed
could be fake news.
There, I did see something either this morning or late last night that there is a couple people that have, like, flat out, like, that's not accurate.
Refuted it?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Because there's all kind, because we should lead with this, the good news, I guess, which is that the first Demon Slayer Infinity Castle Part 1 has like flattened Mugen Train in theaters. Like it's done very well, and I think it'll do very well when it comes here, and we'll see that together hopefully.
Do you see the clips of people weeping coming out of the movie theater?
That's awesome.
It's pretty great.
That's funny. Yeah. That brings me joy. But like, I'm excited to see it. But so yeah, it's doing great. It's got legs, and now stuff comes out, right? Oh, they've been working on it for 3.5 years. The next one will be not out till 2027, and then 2029, and who knows what's true. I'd love a one a year. 18 months, maybe?
18 months would be a little more of a pill to swallow, I think. Yeah. I could deal with that.
Yeah.
I'll deal with whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But see The Last of Us, 2027, part 3, season 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, man. You know, we should do, like, a case study on, you know, Game of Thrones feels like they were, like, the first show to instill, or not instill, but, like, they introduced, in my mind, and, like, they made it, they kind of pioneered in pop culture, like, hey, we're taking longer between seasons because we're the biggest show in the world, we've earned it, we have the biggest budget and the most eyeballs, and you guys want it to be good, even though the ending wasn't, we need 2 years. You know what I mean? But, like, they did that, and everyone was like, oh, okay. And now,
yeah, you're gonna make it better. Like 2 years is great. You know,
right. That was our point of view, and it wasn't normative. And now it's just like, it's not even limited to good shows. It's just like shows take longer, and the spend is outrageous. And oftentimes, people are still frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's weird, and like, I don't want to be the guy to say it. And I think some of these, now granted all this union stuff is happening, but it's like someone's going to be like, so what's the holdup? Is it VFX? Because I'm pretty sure AI can do this shit. I'm not saying that. But who was it? Fucking some big project just came out and they were like, yeah, we had AI help us with quite a bit of this.
Oh, what was that? I saw that.
It was today. VFX work. Was it a game or was it a...
No.
It was a movie or a show.
It was a movie. It's assisted with scenes. Fuck, what was that?
It was like a blowing up scene. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it was like, and it makes sense. It's like a blowing up building that by hand might take an artist a little bit of time. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not out here saying like replace the jobs, but like it's just weird that for so long we had one season a year. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like everything takes longer and costs more. And I get like inflation, et cetera, et cetera. But it is kind of wild. Especially Last of Us. What are you fucking doing over there?
I know.
She's in the woods. Grab another camera.
Strap one to her.
What's the problem?
Use a mirror.
And also, you know, after it's just like, like I think Last of Us in particular, I give them significantly less leeway because they gave us half of a season 2 that wasn't very good. And now you're saying your reward for a not great season 2 as a longer wait for what may be a not great season 3. It's like, get fucked.
Yeah.
You kill Pedro and you give me this shit?
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. I think that's it, dude. Other than the intense rumors that Sydney Sweeney may be the next Bond girl.
Oh. Still no Bond, though.
But we need the Bond first. And I got in a big convo with Sam about all this. It's like, I'm really interested in what kind of Bond... I mean, one, Denis Villeneuve makes. But, like, just, like, what direction do they go from here? Like, they kind of... Yeah, like, how modern and dark? Do they take a step back? Does it get a little more campy? Do they just go back
I think the campy days are over. I think that's past.
Yeah, but I'm just curious, you know? Like, do we just go back to Bond girls the way they existed 10 years ago? Like, if you remember the last... Not 10 years, 20. Mm-hmm. Like, if you remember the last... the last couple Daniel Craig movies, like, they kind of got away from that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, Sydney Sweeney rumored to be the next one. It's like, okay, so is she going to be the hot girl he hooks up with for 20 minutes and then they kill her?
And get shot in the back of the head.
Yeah, like, are we just going back to that? Or is it going to be more three-dimensional? Do Bond girls last entire... Are they paired with a Bond? Like, a fucking Doctor Who companion?
I think, like, you know, like, some of the earlier... Daniel Craig movies, like, you know, they were around, like, you know, Ava Green was kind of like more of the
goaded
I agree, but like, you know, like, it was, I think, was it Quantum of Solace, they like did away with Gemma Arterton like really quick, and then in Skyfall it was I actually don't I
guess is there a love interest in Skyfall?
Well, she dies in the beginning and she comes back, right? No. Or no, she shoots in Tenpenny. Is it Moneypenny shoots him?
Yeah.
Because she's kind of a Bond girl in a way. But oh, she's that's more, like, true. More, yeah. But
they don't even hook up, do they?
No.
Okay. Oh, no, the Bond girl. No. I got it. They do shoot her after he hooks up with her. It's who's the villain with the face? Javier Bardem is the villain, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
They're on the island. Beautiful lady. Blah, blah, blah. That's their Bond girl.
Boom. Yeah. Got Bang. It. Dead.
God, Skyfall is so good.
It's been a minute.
Love Skyfall. Anyway, I'm just curious in general. I want to know casting. I want to know who the Bond is. I want to, give Denis Villeneuve fucking $400 million and send him somewhere.
Love it.
Love it.
So, do you remember, did we have stakes on our Superman bet, or?
Yeah. Shit. Then I was getting away from that one. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't.
I haven't either. I was gonna maybe pop it at one point this weekend to go see that.
Clearly doing well, though, right?
I think so. I think it's chugging along there. It's going to get its lunch eaten a bit this weekend with the Fantastic Four. The reviews came out for that today. Seemed to be quite positive.
Good. Okay, what are we at? Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Continues to rule box office. Okay, so Superman passed $400 million globally. I think what we really need to agree on is what constitutes a bomb.
Less than 100 million?
No, that's way too much. You can make that easy.
For a blockbuster? It's already surpassed that.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm kidding. But I was going to try and make some bullshit argument about its budget was 200 and then marketing and split revenue with the theaters. It may not even be profitable, but it'll probably be okay.
Yeah, 243 domestic in what? Because it's been out for a week now?
Two?
2 weeks?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's doing well. Did
you see fucking, like, I have never, like, not like, not like I was like a James Gunn, like, diehard or whatever, but he had one of, like, the most ignoramus interviews the other day, where he's, like, blaming the international numbers on anti-American sentiment right now. And it's like, dude, like, that's really what you want to cook for us right now? Like, your country is, like, flipping the middle finger to everyone right now, especially, I'm talking Canada, kind of a dick, but it's just like, come on, dude, like you're gonna try and blame China and Canada for your numbers being, I guess we count as domestic.
Some formulas I've seen are like, you healthily want it to make 2.5 times its budget back after the theater split and after the marketing push. And it's not there yet, but I'm thinking, what do you think it tops out at? 5-6?
Domestic or total?
Total.
Worldwide?
It's at 406 right now.
I could say 580. I'm gonna say it would cap.
Yeah, I think if it, I think it's a clear win if they make it over 500, and I eat my lunch. But like, I think it's already, I already lost. It's not a bomb. It's clearly not a bomb.
No.
And not to mention, like, it's not a bomb from the perspective of like the revenue it has already generated, and the fact that like the reviews seem to be quite positive. People actually seem to like it. So what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
I took an L on that one. What are you gonna do? There was a chance this movie sucked, all right? You know what's going to, in a roundabout way, you know how we pay for this negative energy I put out in the universe trying to predict a bomb?
Sure.
Superman does well, and Matt Reeves' Batman 2 is going to blow. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, no.
That's the movie I want to succeed more than anything else.
No bad juju.
The universe is going to spite us and give us an awful Batman 2.
I just want it.
But they're doing that, and then, like, in tandem, that James Gunn is starting to talk about, we got to figure out our own Batman, because it's not that one. So, it's going to be interesting to see all this shit happen.
Do you have a most anticipated movie for the rest of the year?
Wow, what a great question. My lazy answer that I just thought of, and it's lazy, and I've prefaced that, it is Demon Slayer. Like, only because, like...
Sure.
Yeah. Like, that's a movie I'm going to probably insist that we see together with Sam, maybe with Shane. Like, but like, there's enough people in my life that actually know what that is. And I want to be there, if not opening night, opening weekend, dodging spoilers. Like, it's just like a fun, there's not many of these weird cultural events left, right? It kind of makes me feel like how excited we were about the MCU when we were when we were younger. But, I'd have to think about it more, but that's the one that comes to mind immediately.
Did I tell you Leanne and I, we watched the pilot of Demon Slayer with Krin?
Oh my god. Oh yeah, she's getting older, yeah.
She dug it. She was really? Like, oh. Yeah, she was like, when we finish One Piece, I would like to do this next. And I'm like...
Really? How far are you into One Piece?
We are definitely over the halfway mark.
Wow.
I think last episode we watched was like 620, 630 range episode. Of like 1100 plus, yeah.
Not bad. Good for you.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised she liked it. But I guess, you know, she's getting older. With the, I'm just thinking of the, Tanjiro discovering his family in the cabin is a little bit.
It was like, cause like I knew going in, but like she's, you know, she like, you know, I think, you know, we've talked about this.
Growing up.
You know, she ripped through all of My Hero, the manga. Like,
oh yes, you told me that.
And she completely fell in love, and like it really unlocked, I think.
Yeah.
A little more mature storytelling for
a new door. Yeah.
And so Leanne and I have been like, you know, like kind of prodding and coaxing, like, hey, like, we think you might like this.
There's
and
a lot of stuff out there that, yeah, you can get
and,
into.
So she's like, okay, well, like, let's watch the pilot before we watch One Piece tonight. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, I'm all excited. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, all right, we're going to find Tanjiro's family in about 20 seconds there. Yeah, and, yeah. like, I was actually kind of like, did like a kind of like a slow turn of like, what's the reaction? And Krin was like, locked in.
Nice.
And she was like, that was like incredibly heavy and like kind of violent. And, you know, like second Giyu showed up, she's like, who is that? And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of those.
That's our boy. That's
our boy. But yeah, no, it was fun. It was fun to watch with her. But yeah, so I think, you know, we'll have another show after. And she's like, oh, maybe I'll just read it. And Leanna's like, do not read it. She's
do not. Like, yeah, don't.
She's like, it is not the experience that you want.
No.
Like, the anime genuinely is what you want. But, so yeah, that was fun. But,
feels like, just based off promotional art, Giyu heavily featured in the movie.
Yeah. I see a lot of him, and I'm blanking on her name again, the pink-haired girl.
The insect Ashira?
Yeah.
No, the Love Ashira.
No, the Love Ashira.
Yeah.
I see a lot of her in the...
Oh, I'm so excited.
But yeah, I think the most anticipated movie I have is in September, the next PTA movie.
Oh, with
Michael One Sarah. Battle. No, Leo. One Battle After Another.
Oh, what am I talking about? Did Michael Cera do a PTA movie? Or
No, he's in Wes Anderson. He's in the new Wes Anderson.
That's what it is.
Apparently quite good.
Yeah, I mixed up the two in my head. Yeah, no, that'll be great.
Yeah,
I saw one. What am I talking about? I saw the trailer for One Battle After That. Yeah. Right? There's a trailer for that?
Yeah, it was when Leanna and I went to go see Jurassic World, there was a ton of movies. Like, we got the Odyssey trailer, and when the one... No, when I went and saw F1, they had the One Battle After Another trailer. And I was in that, like, I think I was telling you, I was in that ultra, it was first time doing like an ultra AVX screen, which is like the extra wide. And then it was like a Dolby theater.
Yeah.
And that trailer came on, and like, just like there was almost like a drumstick tapping kind of motif for like cueing in the trailer.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this movie is going to fucking rip. Like, this is going to be so good. Like, I was because it was a sold out show when I saw F1, and there's this kid beside me. It was like a group of like 18 kids. It was like crazy, and he was like the one singled out. Him and his girlfriend were sitting beside me. Hey, I don't speak French, so, you know, I understand. I have some blue collar French from work there, whatever, but they're not the same. And just like his excitement of like, I could gauge it was the first time he had heard of this movie or seen the trailer. And was doing like a, like reaching down, like over a stranger tapping his buddy on the head of like, look at this, like, you know, like this, like, you know, like, I love to see that. Like, you know, young people getting
excited
into the movies
about storytelling. Yeah.
But yeah. So that was fun.
That'll be a big one. That'd be a nice one to see in theater as well.
Yeah. And the Demon Slayer, obviously.
Of course. I just got to get to the theater more, man. I got to make the excuse. You got to just go.
Yeah.
I'm always happy when I go.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's one of those
I want to go back to the Bytown. I really enjoyed going to, like, when you went and saw Old Boy. I'd like to go do more rep theater stuff. And
oh, I love the Bytown. Yeah, Bytown, Mayfair, they're great, man.
Yeah, so we should make more date nights.
Yeah, and they have a great schedule. All right, I think I'm good.
I am too.
All right, folks, thank you for listening. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Do the subscribe-related things. Apple Music, Spotify. We haven't plugged the Instagram this whole time, but part-time Otaku podcast on TikTok as well. We're here every 2 weeks, YouTube, etc. You know, just do the subscribe thing. Thank you for listening. Grant, go ahead and say the thing.
Bye, guys. Cheers.